Time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, and it's the final show of 2025. Amber Boyens with us from Immune Nutrition and Madison Healthcare Services. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. How was your 2025?
I think it was pretty spectacular. How about yours?
Yeah, it was a good year.
Yeah.
Yep. And 2026, of course, will be even better.
That's right.
We're optimistic.
We should be.
That's right. Everybody better be.
I hope so.
We're going to talk a little bit about New Year's traditions and food today.
Yes.
Well, what should we know?
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons that I really fell in love with kind of the field of nutrition, and we've talked about this before, is that food is really deeply rooted in who we are and where we come from and our families and our traditions. And New Year's is one of the times of year that I think that is most fun. And some families might have traditions for what they do or what they eat or drink or any of that kind of stuff. But culturally, there's so many traditions around the world that focus on food as we go into the new year.
I had eggnog.
Sure.
Yeah. One time a year, I get eggnog in my moose mug.
There we go.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And that's a great tradition. And when you have that, it evokes memories, I'm sure, of eggnog's past.
Eggnog, long ago.
That's right. So when we look around the world, I think some of the fun traditions, and we like to do New Year's big in our house and celebrate kind of as we go through the day, some of the different places in the world that are celebrating New Year's at that time. Because my husband works in international logistics, we won't go into the details because nobody ever understands when I try to explain it. We talk a lot about different countries and places that he knows people in. So,
if you want to ship something somewhere else, talk to Kyle.
That's right. Kyle's got a lot of good information on that. So a lot of these countries, though, the traditions that they have around food are focused around food and meaning. So it's not about diet. It's not about restriction. It's not about any of that kind of stuff. It's about meaning of food. So we're going to go in order of how these countries celebrate. We'll talk about a couple of them. Japan. One of my best friends from college, Hana. You know Hana is half Japanese.
Yep.
And one of the things that they do on New Year's is celebrate with soba noodles. Soba noodles are long, and long noodles are a symbol of longevity for them. The buckwheat base that they're made out of represents resilience for them.
I better eat some of those.
And then the clean bite that you get with their texture signifies a clean break with previous years. In China, they make dumplings shaped like ancient coins for prosperity. In the Philippines, it's round fruits for abundance. Australia and Germany and some other countries have some sort of fun ones. They incorporate pig in many forms, but pigs root forward as they're foraging, which signifies progress. And the phrase, I'm not even going to try to say it in German, but the translation is to have a pig, means to have a stroke of good luck in Germany. In Scandinavia and in Poland, one of the traditional things that they do is pickled herring, which I know you're a fan of.
Oh, I like pickled herring.
I know you do. And it's wonderful for you, loaded with omega-3s and lots of other great nutrition. But fish swim forward, not backward. So herring is it's silver. It represents prosperity and moving forward. In Poland, a lot of times, or in Germany as well, they also incorporate sauerkraut, which symbolizes abundance. So there's a phrase that's that wishing you as many blessings as there are shreds of cabbage in the sauerkraut. The Netherlands, they have a tradition of eating oliebollen, which is fried dough balls that are often stuffed with raisins or currants. And that's believed to ward off evil spirits and for protection. In Italy, they have lentils that symbolize wealth and prosperity because they're round like coins. In Spain, and in some Latin American countries, there is a tradition of eating 12 grapes with the 12 strokes of midnight. And if you get them in, it's one for each month of good luck in the new year. And then even here in the U.S., in the South, there's a tradition of black-eyed peas, which symbolize coins, with greens, which symbolizes money, and cornbread, which symbolizes gold, all for good luck. So in all of these traditions, the big thing is that this food is symbolizing nourishment and tradition and hope and prosperity in the new year, not restriction.
I wanted to point out one thing here, too.
Yes.
Now, in Norway, I looked up the Norwegians. What do they do?
Mm-hmm.
It says they gather at a home for a special meal. Possible dishes include roast pork ribs, salted and dried lamb ribs, or shrimp and seafood buffet. But it doesn't say a thing about lutefisk. So
it does not.
No, that you know, I was studying that, actually. I was reading up on that last week. And somebody was saying the Vikings were be mad because you didn't eat lutefisk. Well, the Vikings didn't eat lutefisk. It came hundreds of years after the Vikings.
Look at that. As they were traveling, right?
And it wasn't that popular in Norway. It became popular in the upper Midwest among the Scandinavians that moved here. So it's not truly a Norwegian tradition. It's just, but people like it.
It's a Norwegian-American tradition.
It's a Norwegian-American. If you like it, you like it.
That's right.
Give me some clue.
And they did not, when I was in Norway, they served us a couple of traditional Norwegian meals.
And lutefisk was not included.
It was not included. Many of the other things we have were.
Nothing nearby.
No.
All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I love that. I love that. And I would encourage people to look into your own culture and heritage and look back at your own family traditions from when you were a kid and incorporate those. Because we've talked before, tradition and food is important. It's meaningful. And that's another, you know, when we think about traditions around the new year, resolutions. I know they're your favorite.
Oh, yeah. I make them and break them within the same month.
So New Year's resolutions are also really deeply rooted in human history. And it's really interesting when you look at the kind of history of this. It goes back nearly 4,000 years. So back to the Babylonians, which was in 2600 BCE, would essentially make resolutions, probably not calling them that, but to honor the new year, which for them I think was actually in planting season. And their resolutions were just promises to the gods to return borrowed items, to pay debts, to live honorably in the new year. And there's evidence that the Romans did similar things in promising good conduct to the gods. So resolutions didn't start as these goals to shrink their bodies. They were about becoming better humans. Now, if we fast forward to today, about half of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Of those resolutions that are made, about 70% are health related. And just like you said, 23% quit in the first week, 43% quit by the end of January. By mid-February, about 80% are done. And all in all, about 8% of people
just look that up
achieve
here.
Their goals. Is that what you found?
It says 8% achieve their goals.
8%.
That's pretty bad.
So the problem isn't tradition, though. It's execution, right? And I think one of the big things is that being lighter is not a life outcome, right? It's not, the number on the scale isn't a meaningful thing. So when we tie our goals to our identity and to life meaning, we're three times more likely to actually achieve those goals. So when our goal for the new year is just something vague, like I want to work out more, or I'm going to eat more vegetables, or I'm going to lose weight, those aren't bad goals. Those are great things, right? Moving our body and eating well and nourishing ourselves is all so important. Self-care things are really important. But if we're going to set those goals, we need to know why we're setting them, first of all, because that number on the scale is not enough of a motivator for most people to achieve and maintain all of that. So instead of setting kind of these vague goals, I really encourage people to set something around meaning, set something around purpose, set something around a why. And ways you can do that would be having a goal for the year of, you know, having a social meal once per month, or exchanging recipes with people, or inviting people to dinner a certain number of times, or sitting down to eat as a family a certain number of times per week. You know, doing it with other people can really make a big difference too. But setting those resolutions to be a little bit more about purpose, a little bit more meaning-based, a little bit more about, you know, how you're going to make your life and the life around you, lives around you better, is a great strategy to take into the new year. Now, if you don't want to create resolutions, a couple of good alternatives. One is to set an intention for the year. So having that intention for the year being something like, this is my year of listening. Listening to others, listening to my body, listening to my heart, listening to, you know, hear people and understand. It could be, this is my year of beginning. Each meal, each walk, each wake up, each day is a fresh beginning, and working on focusing on that instead. Choosing a year, a word of the year. I have a friend who does this every year, who chooses a word, and that word is their focus for the year. So your word could be something like enough. So taking a breath and quit looking for more. All the time. More things, more recipes, more everything. Using the year to appreciate what is enough on your plate, what is enough in your life. Restoration. Focus on rest and recovery. Protect your sleep. Focus on restoring yourself and your relationships, your routines. You could use the word begin. Not to overhaul, not to reinvent, just to begin. Every moment with a little bit of grace and compassion. Begin with a healthy meal every day. Begin your sleep routine with nourishing behaviors. But if you don't want to set those resolutions, think about setting an intention for the year. My intention for this last year was connections, connecting with people. And we tried to make an effort to go out and connect with more of our friends that we haven't seen. Whatever works for you.
And write it down.
Write it down.
Even with the to-do list in the morning, yes. You know, if you can check it off as you go, you feel like you've actually accomplished something. You
absolutely.
Know, maybe do that with your goals and resolutions, too.
I love that. Yeah. A checklist, put things on there you can easily accomplish.
Right. Have a plan.
Or keep a success journal. Each night, focus on the successes that you had for the day and your intentions for the next one. But rather than setting those big all-or-nothing resolutions of losing weight or eating vegetables or whatever it might be, instead focus on those things that are meaningful. Tie a meaning into it. Focus on the successes. You'll be in better shape.
Sounds good. A lot of good advice, Sarah Amber. Appreciate it. And again, Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you to you as well.
Which would include me.
Yes, it would.
But anyway, we look forward to 2026 and more Taco Tuesdays.
Me too. Thank you.
All right. Amber Boyens with Immunutrition, Madison Healthcare Services, with another Taco Tuesday. Last one of the year here on Q92.